Hour number two of Overtime is coming at you live here. 865-546-8200-546-8200. You can catch us here on the Next Door Home Group hotline. Our brand new friends, brand new sponsors of the Fan Run phone lines here. 865-546-8200. We'll greet you as you call in. All right, let's get to this part here, because this is something I saw my flight back yesterday.
Uh-oh.
And I took one glance at my Twitter timeline, and I just wanted to shut it down for a little bit.
Oh, no.
I'm talking, of course, if you this is really something you probably only heard of if you're very active on Twitter or if you've been listening at any point today, because I'm sure every other show has touched on this, right? Because this is something worth touching
on. Depends on what you're talking about.
I'm talking about Henry Toa Toa.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the Twitter likes.
You saw this before you're about to fly?
No, I was mid-air.
Oh, no.
So you just couldn't refresh it?
I thought you were
saying
you saw this before you're about to take off. You had to turn your phone off and just sit and think about it.
No, I was on free Wi-Fi.
Okay,
Southwest.
Good.
So, no, I was able to keep up.
Okay.
I was able to keep up a little bit.
Because I would lose my mind for that hour or so flight, just being like, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh.
So, Julia, you were the one who brought this to attention here in our group.
Yeah.
DM. I go to Mike Forrell. He is a Washington Huskies and Seahawks reporter for the Seattle Times. So this is someone who's connected.
Mm-hmm.
He quotes a tweet that's a Washington Huskies fan account. Let me go ahead and read Varel's tweet here first, and then I'll give you some more context.
Okay.
He tweets, four-star 2019 outside linebacker Henry Toa Toa, one of Washington's top targets in the last cycle, just retweeted this. He signed with Tennessee, ... but this is interesting.
Yeah.
He quotes a tweet from a Washington fan account. It's just a Photoshop. It's a Photoshop of Henry Toa Toa. It's actually a real picture from when he visited Washington, I guess, because
mm-hmm.
he's in a Washington uniform.
Yeah.
It says, the best in the West should play with the best in the West. So, of course, Toa Toa, California, West Coast kid.
Yeah.
Washington was going to be one of his top schools. Eventually, obviously, signed with Tennessee over Washington and Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
So, you see this reply. So, Toa Toa retweeted that.
He did.
He retweeted
Initially,
that.
He did.
So, and then you go back to this tweet that was a response to this guy, who's another Washington fan account, said, well, check out Henry Toa Toa's most recent likes on Twitter. I have no sources here, but damn, that is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
For those who don't know, he's a five-star linebacker who signed with Tennessee. He said, this last February.
Yeah.
This last February. It's either last February or this February.
Yeah,
just
this
FYI.
Last.
That works me.
Yeah, no.
It's a screenshot of Henry Toa Toa's recent likes. Bunch of tweets from good old Peterson up there in Washington.
Yeah.
Gary Peterson, head coach, of course, of Washington. It's four separate tweets that just say woof in all caps from different dates, which is weird.
Very weird.
And then it's just you go through Henry Toa Toa's likes. It's just him liking a bunch of Washington fan tweets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, saying, hey, come out here, transfer, whatever. So we're thinking,
you're always welcome home. Yeah.
We're thinking, what the hell? You
what
just signed
this?
Here. You're not even on campus, and you're thinking about, we have to, of course, this is Tennessee here. Of course, we'd have to worry about some kid who's not even played a down of football.
I was freaking out when I saw this.
As you should be.
Immediately.
As you should be. We'll get to some of his recent likes here in a minute, but now let's backtrack some more. And then Big David Ubbin out here trying to put out the flames. David Ubbin of the Athletic, Tennessee beat writer.
Mm-hmm.
He got in contact. Of course, Henry Toa Toa went to the illustrious De La Salle
mm-hmm.
High School. Is it high school or prep academy? Because I know they're an all-boys school.
Ooh, I'm not
sure. I think they still might be called high school.
I think it's still high school, but I
okay.
would not quote me on that.
Private Catholic. Oh, no. High school. It's
okay.
A high school. Yeah.
So, Ubbin reaches out with the head coach of De La Salle, who would, I would assume, know Henry Toa Toa very well. He reached out with Justin Alumba about Toa Toa. Coach Alumba said about Henry Toa Toa, quote, he's not leaving.
Yeah.
That's all he said. And then, of course, you got some more people. You got Moose out here trying to further calm down the timeline. Brian Niedermeyer tweeted, I mean, a guy goes on vacation for 3 days, a kid tweets one motivational tweet, then the entire Twitter world loses its mind. Just chill, Vol Nation.
Yeah.
Of course, you can't tell Vol Nation to chill. Moose! I love you, Moose.
Moose, do you know what we've been through?
Moose doesn't know. When Moose is up there in Alaska taking down grizzly bears with his bare hands, I mean, we're in the middle of Lane Kiffin's leaving us in the middle of the night. You have recruits throwing their hats across the gym floor.
Oh, man.
Moose, we've been through a lot, man. We've been through a lot. You need to understand this.
Yeah.
We are the definition of Stockholm Syndrome.
Yes. Always.
The balls are...
I don't know if we'll ever get over that.
We are the captive.
Yeah.
We're just too used to it. Heart's been trampled on so much.
Yes.
But you had some people trying to calm everything down. And this is the last you really heard. Everything's really just going from one kid's Twitter likes.
I know.
And wild speculation is going to run rampant. But if he's retweeting, like, Washington fan stuff, I mean,
Yes. That
gives you cause for, wait a minute, what's this kid feeling? Is he homesick? Is he seriously considering this? Or is he just, is Henry Toa Toa just a troll?
Yeah.
Is he just trying to stir some stuff up? Because...
It's hard to him,
it could just be fun.
Yeah, it's hard to put yourself in his shoes, but I'm just thinking of, like, from my perspective, if I was somebody who had signed with a school and I was at the school, I wouldn't be liking tweets from people who are obviously fans of a different school, because that just, it's out for the public to see. Like, everybody sees it. He got under scrutiny, you know, for it, which is not, you know, surprising.
We really shouldn't be looking into tweets of high school football players, soon-to-be college football players, this seriously anyway. But that's the thing, though.
Sometimes that's been telltale signs of, oh, this person is looking elsewhere.
They're going to put it out there, and, of course, this is going to get this reaction that it does here.
You know, Rakeem Jarrett took all of his LSU stuff off of his page, and sure enough, you know.
You can read the tea leaves a little bit.
He's taking visits elsewhere now.
But the thing is, Rakeem Jarrett's still a recruit.
Yeah.
Henry Toa Toa signed. He's getting here this summer.
Yeah.
So that gives you more concern about, man, why would he want to do this already? He'd have to already set out a year before he got to play if he did transfer anywhere.
Right.
It's like you don't even want to give it a shot.
Yeah.
I mean, he could be homesick. That's thousands of miles away from your home, but... That's
you
one of those things
you
think about.
Yeah, you knew what you were signing up for.
Now, of course, if this is the last we hear about this and he gets to campus here, he's going to be fine.
Yeah.
He's going to be fine. It's one of those adjustment period things. We can't forget that. You know,
thought he was already on campus because I remember back in early June they made the video of him. I don't know, maybe that was a visit or it was like a welcome home, you know, Henry Toa Toa.
I'm not sure. I'm not thinking he gets here until July. But is he not on the roster already?
I haven't checked the roster.
Because his number was released.
Bringing that Cali swag to the volunteer state. Welcome home.
See, another good thing, too, is I guess he wants to look into tweets. His pinned tweet is still him with his family posing in Tennessee stuff.
Yes, yeah.
So it's not like he took everything Tennessee off. This is the thing when you get to analyzing tweets because you're like, oh, what does he have in his bio about Tennessee? Mm-hmm. How about this tweet here? Does he unfollow these people? Oh, it's crazy.
But as soon as Niedermeyer put out his tweet, soon after, Toa Toa unliked the, you know, Portal Talk tweet.
Henry Toa Toa is on the roster, number 11.
Yeah, so he's here.
Yeah, here's his official summer football roster.
So
he is here.
He's been here for what, a month, a little over a month, and he's missing his family. It makes sense, but... It doesn't make sense to be liking and retweeting stuff of you in a uniform of a school that you're not even signed to. Like, it's very weird.
I'm just going through. He's unliked pretty much everything that was like.
I did see he unliked the Portal.
Portal Talk.
Yeah, somebody tweeted at him and said, Portal Talk, bro, or something like that.
The only two things from, like, Washington people is just tweets like, I'm praying for you, we're rooting for you.
Right.
So that's just him
I feel like that's acceptable.
That
if someone,
yeah.
If someone's saying I'm rooting for you and I'm praying for you, regardless of what college they root for, I feel like that's fair. Okay, I'll like that because
that
they're sending
me
good positive vibes.
Yeah, that wouldn't worry me as much.
The tweet that had a lot of people speculating before they started looking at his likes said this was 2 days ago. He tweeted, hard with a question mark? Yes, worth it, praying on it.
Yeah.
Maybe he's just homesick. Maybe he's just homesick and then... Do we think he was just playing with people, or do we really think that he really knew what he was doing?
I have no idea.
Because I'm really torn here now. If you come out and you still stay for Tennessee and you end up being a really, really productive player, we're not going to remember this.
Oh, no, I doubt it.
Like, we're just not. If he comes out and plays for us and he ends up being like a Drew Richmond, then some people are going to remember this.
Yeah.
You know, fairly or unfairly, people are going to remember this. Do we think he had any intentions here, or do we think this is what the case is a lot when it comes to tweets, just overanalyzing them?
I think he's a young kid, just graduated high school, who's in he's on the opposite end of the country trying to adjust to, you know, a whole new life. And he's young. He tweeted, he liked, he did, you know, stuff in the moment probably that he probably wasn't thinking of the ramifications of his actions. And then he quickly got told by the Moose, hey, you can't be doing that.
If we're throwing out hypotheticals, though, like you calling him a troll messing with Washington fans and, like, trying to mess with them by liking all these
things. That would be funny.
That would be hilarious. What if he's just doing the old, like, I wonder if they'll actually miss me and trying to see how Vol Nation reacts to him leaving? I feel like we put on a pretty good front of, please don't leave, please don't leave. And I feel like we've made him feel wanted. So if that's the case, he doesn't feel wanted. If we're throwing out hypotheticals, if he doesn't feel wanted and he wants to see if Vol Nation is actually behind him, I think we've shown that we are.
Yeah. I thought we had when we got him. I mean, when we got him, I feel like Vol Nation erupted.
That was fantastic.
That was like one of the best days.
He was one of those, you know, February signees to that signing class that we were all jumping for joy about. And now it's just one of those battered spouse things where you're like, oh, no, of course. Of course, one of our high-profile signees is thinking about going to the Pac-12 before he plays one down of football. Oh, no, we've been through this before. It's just maybe if he tried this with any other fan base, the results would have been different. But if it's us and
– he should feel secure now because what I think happened is a lot of people reached out to him and said, no, we need you, which we do. We need him.
I mean, I'm not going to be crawling into a 18-year-old football player's DMs saying, please don't leave or anything. I know a lot of people probably will. I would never go to that length.
I'm only 17. It wouldn't be that weird if I did it. So I'll go.
No,
ahead and
it
do
wouldn't.
It.
It's, but then you have, oh, God, I wonder how many like 30 and 40-something-year-olds were like, oh.
I'm sure they were in there.
Does he feel loved like that? I mean... Some people are going to feel one way about that or the other.
I don't know. I just think he was voicing or, you know, thinking out loud with how he was feeling about missing home, missing what he's used to, and didn't understand the consequences of it.
Dear Henry Toyota Knoxville, just be good at football.
Yeah.
Just be good at football, Hank. That's all I ask you, Hank. Yeah. Just be good at football, and we won't – nobody's going to remember anything like this, but, of course, it's not Tennessee offseason if you don't have something weird like this going on. So hopefully this is the last we talk about this and we just move on.
I feel better about it after Niedermeyer's tweet.
The Moose had to come out there. He had to kick back his hooves a little bit.
Yeah. Listen, buddy.
His big antlers. He had a charge to the timeline.
You thought you could get away with this while I was on vacation.
Uh-uh.
But we don't do this around here.
Uh-uh. We're settling down now. Moose saves the day per usual here. We got to hit another break, 865-546-8200. Get a hold of us here on the Next Door Home Network hotline. We got more overtime coming up next. Let me come back. Give you another update on some beer in Neyland Stadium.
Bows.
Some brewskis in Neyland Stadium. And Hallie, if you want some week one when the Vols take on Georgia State in the season opener, you may be out of luck. You may be having to slam some down at the tailgate. We'll tell you about that and a whole lot more on the other side. You're listening to Overtime. Keep it here on Fan Run Radio. So, if you want some beer, when the Vols take on Georgia State, and by beer, I mean legally in the stadium purchased alcohol, you may be having to wait. You may be having to wait at least one more week. No!
One more week?
Maybe.
Oh, okay. I can deal with that.
Potentially. But if you want it week one, you might be in some trouble.
I don't think I'm going to need it for Georgia State. BYU, though, different story.
So August 31st, of course, is when the game kicks off. Tennessee takes on Georgia State here. I'm reading from the Knox News Sentinel, by the way, their story on this. It says the university is trying to figure out when it will be ready to implement alcohol sales for athletic events, and it might not be in time for the season's kickoff. Talking to Vice Chancellor for Student Life, Vince Carilli, he said, honestly, I don't know if we can get there. We would strive to sell alcohol at the first game, perhaps, but if we're not ready, we're not. So vending company Aramark, which, of course, they take care of all the concessions, everything you purchase in Neyland Stadium, they're going to be the ones handling the new beer and wine sales as well. They're going back before the Knoxville Beer Board tomorrow with a new detailed plan for selling alcohol at Neyland Stadium, Thompson Bowling Arena, and Regal Soccer Stadium. What do you guys think about the fact that they're going to try to sell beer at the soccer stadium but not at Lindsey Nelson? I think beer and baseball goes hand in hand more than beer and soccer.
Yeah. So they're going to sell beer for baseball?
I don't know.
Oh.
It doesn't say Lindsey Nelson.
Oh, okay.
It's only Neyland TBA, of course, in the Regal Soccer Stadium.
Soccer. Very weird.
I don't know why you can't for baseball.
Yeah, no.
That seems like that makes the most sense.
Yeah, maybe because we have a good soccer team.
Yeah, but you also have a baseball team that's on the rise, too.
Seriously.
And you have perfect.
Baseball and beer go hand in hand.
If you're out there on the porch in the outfield, Lindsey Nelson, that's a perfect place to sit back and drink a beer.
Anywhere in that stadium.
I have no idea if this applies or is an actual reason, but they're already planning, I'm pretty sure, to make like a bunch of renovations to the baseball stadium.
Yeah.
Going with the Tony Vitella contract, he wanted all these things done.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they're waiting to figure out the logistics of how everything's going to look post-renovation to put beer in, but I have no idea if that goes hand-in-hand at all.
That does make more sense.
Yeah.
That would make more sense.
You know, where they're going to
So why not for softball?
Why not?
I have no reason for that.
I don't know either. Anyway, but they're playing on right now for this athletic year for it to be in those three venues. It says that even if Knoxville approves Aramark's applications for beer permits, that doesn't mean that the venues will immediately begin sales. Carilli said that Aramark going to the beer board is just one step in the process because they have to do what they have to do from a policy and procedures perspective. If that doesn't happen, we can't have alcohol sales anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So new UT Chancellor Donnie Plowman has created a 9-member task force to develop university plans and policies for alcohol sales at athletic facilities. She is asking for recommendations from members by the end of this month. Carilli is a member of the task force along with Philip Fulmer and Senior Vice Chancellor for Finance and Administration Chris Cimino. So what must happen first? Cimino said that UT supports Aramark's plans, but it will take time for the company and university to work out effective ways to implement the plans. For example, Aramark and the university are both on board with plans to sell beer at concession stands reserved for alcohol sales, but they haven't determined how many stands there will be and where they will be located. So this is coming down to logistics right now is what it's coming down to. And another part of the plan is for the university to deploy people into the stands to check for underage consumption, but the university still has to figure out the associated cost and how people will be deployed, not to mention extra security measures and the workers Aramark will have to hire and train. So, Carilli also said there's still, quote, a gazillion moving parts.
Mm-hmm.
And logistics can become quite complicated with 100,000 plus people packed inside Neyland Stadium. Cimino said you don't want to do it wrong. You don't want your fans to be disappointed with how you're rolling it out, but you also need to make sure you're doing it in a safe manner as well. So he said, don't know that we're going to get the chance to do that between the first semester, when the first semester starts in the first football game. Talking about educating the public, including students who start the fall semester just 10 days before the first football game against Georgia State. So they're trying to pack everything in from you know, new safety things for students about alcohol inside the stadium.
Yeah.
And they don't think with everything going on, they're going to be able to ready to sell by week one.
Jeez.
We disappointed?
Yeah, a little bit.
We thought it was going to be ready week one?
Yeah, I did. I honestly did. I hope they're actively taking... I hope they're not kind of slacking on this, which I don't think they are. But, you know, since it's not going to be ready by week one, I hope that's not an excuse to be like, you know, it's definitely not going to be ready by the first game. Don't know if it'll be the second game or the game after that. I hope it's, you know, I hope they're being diligent about it, but also, you know, taking the steps to make sure it's done the right way.
This also really looks like the way the university is just covering itself.
Yeah.
They're trying to make sure that they're not at fault if anything goes awry.
That's true.
Corelli said that if you're anticipating to be able to buy alcohol at the first game against Georgia State, anyone who thinks that needs to slow down, he says. He said, the worst thing that can happen is we do it too quick and we screw up.
Yeah.
So he's being transparent, at least. He's not trying to make it sound like a bunch of bureaucratic paperwork and red tape. He's coming out the standpoint of, hey, there's some things we have to do from an education standpoint. There's things Aramark has to do from the fact that they have to hire some extra people. They have to take these extra security measures into effect.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't do that, something bad goes wrong. Aramark, the university, they could be at legal fault.
Yeah.
They really could. That's just the reality.
There was one part of the article where it was talking about how they're planning to try by August 3rd have beer in Thompson
TBA,
Bowling for
the Alice Cooper concert.
There's an Alice Cooper concert coming. Really, he was talking about how there's a difference, obviously, between thousands of people for a concert and 100,000 people for a football game, but they're going to try to roll out these policies at the concert to see how things work so they can get prepared for the football game itself.
Do we know when the concert is?
August 3rd.
August 3rd. Okay.
So that's a good
trial run.
That's a good little test sample,
yeah.
I would think, because
it's a good size, but it's also not an overwhelming amount just in case it goes wrong.
Yeah.
TBA already seats like a little over 20,000 for basketball. I know that capacity goes down a little bit for concerts, so we're expecting at max 15,000. That's a good little sample size, mm-hmm. I would think. And you got, you know, the 3rd to the 31st, that's a whole four-week period. Well, if something didn't go smoothly as you thought it would, you got a whole, almost basically entire month to fix it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I like the idea. I like the idea that they're going to use TBA, the Alice Cooper concert, as a trial run. Because just expecting what I'm picturing in my mind in 2019 Alice Cooper concert, that's going to be a crowd that's going to want a lot of booze.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I like Alice Cooper, but I'm expecting an average median-sized audience of, as far as age goes, maybe 44 for that one. So, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be an older crowd.
They would like their brewskis.
Yeah.
I would see Alice Cooper.
I would, too.
That's too close to a concert I'm going to in Nashville, though. I can't fit everything together.
Who are you going to see in Nashville?
So, go ahead and give you a heads up. I'm probably not going to be on the air Tuesday, July 30th.
Okay. Thanks for the heads up.
Thinking going to Nashville to see a band called Baroness, which I really like. They're going to be at some venue out there. So,
okay.
But, yeah, Alice Cooper would be cool to see.
I agree.
But, yeah, it's a little test run. They have to make sure everything's right. I say as long as they're able to start sales by BYU, you won't have too much complaining from the fan base.
Yeah.
Also, when he was said that he doesn't want to disappoint the fan base, as long as the beer's like drinkable and a decent price, I don't feel like many people inside Neyland Stadium are going to be too disappointed with having a beer in their hand. So,
the only time they'll be disappointed is if we run out,
or if we lose.
I mean, this is a Tennessee fan base. Run out of beer is very plausible.
Yeah, I know.
You did run.
They ran out of water before, haven't they?
Oh my God! That Florida game in 2016. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that was terrible.
They ran out of water, and it was so hot.
I'm thinking about the Tax Slayer Bowl, too. You ran that stadium in Jacksonville out of whiskey. It's very possible you can empty the supply of beer. All the kegs could be empty.
Yeah.
It's like, sorry, this is just this is East Tennessee and Appalachian fan base SEC football game. Sometimes you just run out of beer, I guess.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's what happens.
That first game with beer and Neyland, they're going to need to be ready.
Has there been anything come out about the sizes they're trying to sell is all going to be?
I think it was less than 24, I want to say, which seems reasonable. I have no idea exactly. Obviously, when we did Mount Rushmore beers, I was doing root beers, so I'm not a beer expert or any of that.
I know they were in the plastic cups. They're not doing cans or anything.
You got to do plastic.
I think it said the cup like has to be clear, and it has to be different than the soda cups so they can tell who's drinking what from afar. But I'm not sure on volume, size, or anything.
You know how underage drinking is going to happen? You're just going to have your of-age friend buy you a beer and just pour the beer into the soda.
Yeah.
That's probably what's going to happen. I would assume like there would be pint size, so pint 16 ounces.
Yeah, I want to say somewhere around there.
I doubt it'd be as big as a liter. So no tall boys, probably. No. We shall see. Well, so what would be the – what's the appropriate price – I'm asking Julia here, obviously, because Will's still a baby. He cannot purchase alcohol in Neyland Stadium yet.
I'll throw you a number anyways.
Okay, yeah.
Well, what do you think?
I'm not excluding you. I'm just saying, from me and Julia do have experience, like, at least buying some overpriced beers.
Yeah. No, they're definitely going to be, I'm going to say, $10 or more.
For a pint?
Yeah.
Would you pay exactly $10 for a pint of, like, Bud Light?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, not like maybe one or two, you know, for a whole game. But, yeah, I would do it.
I'm going to, like, maybe buy beer there just to say I bought one.
Yeah.
Just to keep the cup?
That's
probably, honestly.
Yeah.
First beer at Neyland. First legal beer at Neyland.
No, it's definitely going to be overpriced.
They have to.
If it's going to be a pint or maybe a little bit smaller, I'm thinking the $9 range maybe. I'm not thinking double digits because I feel like – pricing, it's all about the eye. That's why everything's like something 99 because they don't want it to be that dollar over.
That's true.
So I don't think it's going to make it to the maybe $9.99, but I don't think it's going to make it to double digits because no one's, I mean, unless you're like that desperate to get drunk, I don't think anybody's going to be paying double digits for a beer in Neyland unless it's that miserable.
Yeah. That could be, yeah, that's a good point. $9.99. I see that.
Most likely. Well, the beer is on its way. You just might not be getting it at Georgia State, but come September.
We shouldn't need it for Georgia State.
I hope not.
Let's be honest.
Get your fill of drinking before and after.
Yeah, the first, you know, home game jitters should carry you through.
Now, BYU, I will be having some jitters probably. Yeah. So I'm like, yeah, give me that beer.
Give me that beer.
Give me that water down over Price Brewski right now.
I need it.
Like SpongeBob looking at the glass of water. I don't need it.
I need it.
Oh, we got birthdays coming up next. Stick with us here. You're listening to Overtime, Fox Sports Knoxville.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game. It's all about the game.
It's about time to get into the birthday game here, but before that, got to tell you about our brand new family member to the Fan Run family sponsors here, and they are your new phone line sponsor here. It's the Next Door Home Group Hotline. It's Eli Corum with Next Door Home Group with Keller Williams. No gimmicks, just results. They're in the top 5% of realtors in the Knoxville market for the past 4 years. Very straightforward, and they get the job done with money left in your pocket with a fun, stress-free buying or selling experience. Eli Corum has a top-notch team, and they're the most one of the most effective marketing programs in the real estate industry. Negotiation and customer service skills that are unmatched in the real estate market. So if you're in the market for buying or selling a home, give a call to Eli Corn with the Next Door Home Group with Keller Williams. Their number is 865-233-9461. That's 865-233-9461. Or visit nextdoorhomes.com. No gimmicks, just results. And shout to them officially joining us now as the new sponsor of the phone lines here. It's the Next Door Group Hotline, 865-546-800, if you wanted to join us here. All right, it is time to get into birthdays here. Y'all had a fantastic run of birthdays with Ben Lee here, but hopping back in here as the host, it's Will versus Julia, and we got best three out of five.
Okay.
Not as many for a Monday edition, because I only have two from yesterday.
Okay.
And three from the day. However, most of these names are very solid. I'm going to give this an A-.
All right. Cool.
So let's go ahead and get into it here. Will versus Julia. We start with yesterday's birthdays. And first up, he turned 31 years old yesterday. He is an MMA fighter. He's actually a retired MMA fighter.
Conor McGregor.
Got to give it to Will.
Yeah.
Will was saying Conor first.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, retired MMA fighter trying to get back into the game. He's going to have several more fights.
Oh, yeah.
I do not believe he's truly done.
I hope so.
We have not seen the last of Conor McGregor.
The notorious Conor McGregor now chilling at least for a little bit, making some money selling his Proper 12 Irish whiskey.
Oh.
Julia, have you tried that yet?
No, I haven't.
I haven't either. It's probably bad.
Probably.
It's probably bad. Anything like a celebrity makes that's like low priced.
Yeah, and they just put their name on
it. The quality's probably not that good.
Yeah.
And I doubt, even if it's okay, I doubt it's better than Jameson to me. And Jameson's not even the best Irish whiskey.
Yeah. No, I can't see it being that good.
But he's been selling a lot. I follow him on Instagram. Every post is about his whiskey.
Of course, it's got his name on it.
Proper 12 Irish whiskey. Hmm. Moving on here. Will leads 1-0. Last birthday for yesterday. This is another good one. Passed away in 2004, though. RIP. He would have been 106 yesterday. Did I say passed away in 2004? I mean, he passed away in 2006. My bad. Mm. He was a president. He was the 38th president of the United States from August 1974 to January 1977. Before he was the president, he was the 40th vice president. He's the only person to serve as both vice president and president without being elected to either office by the Electoral College. Had to fill in for Nixon when Nixon resigned.
Gerald Ford.
It is Gerald Rudolph Ford Jr.,
an
All-American football player at Michigan, by the way.
What?
Did you know Michigan has retired his number?
No.
I didn't know that either.
Yes.
So he's a vice president
it's pretty
and
good.
President.
He's pretty good. How about this? Gerald Ford played center, linebacker, and long snapper for Michigan.
Wow.
Helped Michigan to two undefeated seasons and national titles in 32 and 33.
Yeah, not a fan of his. Don't like Michigan.
It's one of the best to actually play for Michigan and end up being a president.
He so did. I guess I had to be a little bit of a fan. No. But he chose the wrong school.
He really did. Is he from Michigan?
I don't know.
Let me check this.
Has to be.
Born in Nebraska. Was he raised in Michigan? Yeah. Yeah.
He was.
Grand Rapids.
Yep.
That's what it looks
like. That makes sense.
Okay, I guess it does make sense. But yeah, Gerald R. Ford would have been 106 yesterday. Will, RA with a 2-0 lead.
Jeez.
Julie on edge.
Catching me slipping.
On the verge here, still anybody's game as we move into today's birthdays. Start off here, start with this one. 52 years old today. 52 years old. He's an American special effects designer, fabricator, actor, educator, and most known as a TV personality. He's known as the former co-host with his co-host Jamie Hyneman, of the Discovery Channel TV series Mythbusters and Unchained Reaction.
Oh, what's his name? Oh, man.
That's about as much as I can tell you.
Oh.
I have his face perfectly in my head. I cannot give you a name.
Oh, no.
He's the one that doesn't wear the hat. Jamie's the one that, like, wears the hat.
Yeah. What's his initial?
Okay, still fair play. Initials, A.S.
A.S.
10 seconds.
Andy not, Smith.
No.
Not what I was thinking.
5, 4, 3. Nobody got name. Adam Savage.
Savage, that's right.
Adam Savage. Nobody gets it. All right, here. Still two more left. Still anybody's ball game. 58 years old today. He's an actor. I think he's American. Let me check here. Yes, he is American. He's also producer and director. He's earned a reputation for intensive character study work for films such as Bird, The Crying Game, Platoon, The Great Debaters, The Butler, and Arrival. He also appeared in blockbusters such as Rogue One, A Star Wars Story.
Forrest Whitaker.
Is Forrest Whitaker, and is also Zuri in Black Panther.
Yep.
He's also known for, he's got the Forrest Whitaker eye.
Yeah,
I don't know what causes that.
I don't know.
But,
he is known for it, though.
He's known for that look. It's a signature look.
Yeah.
He's made it work.
I like him a lot.
He's become an A-list actor with it.
Yeah.
And also, The Last King of Scotland.
Yeah, he won an Oscar for that.
Won an Oscar, yeah. BAFTA, Golden Globe. Yeah, won a lot of stuff for being Idi Amin, the Ugandan dictator.
Yeah.
So shout out to Forrest Whitaker. Julia is on the board, 2-1.
Shoo.
If Julia gets this, we got to find a This Day in History tiebreaker.
Oh, gosh.
If Will gets this, it is game to Will.
Okay.
29 years old today. 29 years old. He's an American NBA player. I will tell you that he's a four-time All-Star. He got drafted in 2012. He's played with the same team. He's a point guard, played at Weber State in college.
Damian Lillard.
Is Damian Lillard of the Portland Trailblazers.
Dang.
Shout to Weber State.
The greatest rapper in the NBA, I might add.
And also a rapper.
He is cold with his
flow.
Add
that to his report.
He's the best NBA rapper since Shaq was a rapper back in the 90s.
Damian Lillard's actually got some talent. If you haven't watched him rap, look him up on YouTube.
If he was not a basketball player, he would make it successful.
Oh, for sure.
In hip-hop.
I haven't watched him rap.
He's good.
When we get during break, look up Damian Lillard freestyle. It is some of the best rap I've seen, and he's not even a rapper.
Hey. I'm not a rapper, though. All right. It all comes down to This Day in History tiebreaker. Ooh, and this
like
is a good
this.
One. This is
like
a
it.
Good one. We go back pretty recently to 2006.
Okay.
July 15th, 2006. The San Francisco-based podcasting company Odeo officially releases this. It's short messaging service, or SMS, for groups to the public. And we use this every day. We find our news here every day.
Social
Snapchat?
Media?
No. Y'all are like very close.
Facebook?
No.
Instagram?
Twitter?
Yes! It's
yes!
Twitter! Twitter officially launched to the public. Will has his hands in his face.
Again, I say 2-0 is the most dangerous lead in hockey, soccer, and birthdays.
Very dangerous. Very dangerous. Julie comes all the way back with Twitter. Y'all
I didn't know that.
Y'all were all around it.
I know.
First, Will said social media.
I was thinking outside the box. I was like, gosh, it's got to be like
You said
Snapchat. Yeah.
And there's like Facebook. Snapchat was like much. I think Snapchat was like.
It was later, yeah.
11 or 12, something
yeah, it was
like
later.
That. Snapchat's very recent. Facebook was like 2003 or 4 in like Mark Zuckerberg's dorm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to be used for like Harvard students. Yeah. But Twitter. 2006. If you want a gold mine. You need to look up, like, old, like, tweets from, like, 06 and 07 that people sent.
Yeah, that'd be a gold
specifically,
mine.
Like, bigger name people. The Chargers tweets from, like, 2007. It's when some dude, like, worked for the team ran it. Not actually as, like, the what was in the San Diego Chargers. This dude's tweeting, like, I'm so hungry. I need to get my wife and eat P.F. Chang's tonight.
Oh, no.
And you can still
That's
find it.
That's what Twitter was.
At Chargers.
Yeah.
It was
like
literally,
Facebook.
What are you
days.
Doing?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm getting P.F. Chang's or, I don't know, I'm having some coffee while watching whatever on TV.
Yeah.
And now it's our newspaper. It's like our version of the newspaper now.
That is crazy.
Yeah, Twitter. Happy 13th birthday, Twitter. I love you and I hate you at the same time. Part of me wishes you would go away for good.
I know.
But the other part of me knows your use, I guess. Maybe. I really
Were
don't.
You affected by the temporary Twitter outage?
Affected being, did I not get Twitter?
Or did you?
Was I personally affected?
Yeah, were you like, oh, I'm
oh, no.
going to go on Twitter and
oh, no,
couldn't
I loved
get on.
It.
You loved it?
I loved it for a
because you were on vacation, so.
Well, I did.
We were trying to do a radio show. We were like,
I could see how that would be a problem.
Twitter went out. The Wi-Fi went out, like, the last segment
yeah.
of one of the shows. It
we
was,
had a Twitter outage and a Wi-Fi
ooh,
outage.
Ooh, I could see why that'd be
it
a
was
problem.
A millennial nightmare here.
Yeah.
A millennial and Gen Z nightmare. Oh, what a shame. Well, we got one more segment to go here on Overtime. 865-546-8200. Get on the Next Door Network hotline here. We're going to wrap up the program strong when we come back after this. Oh, I've been waiting all show to talk about this. This is something I wish I wouldn't have been in Texas for when this was really going on. But while this is still something that's a trending topic on the internet, we are going to talk about this. This, to me, is the meme of the year. I'm calling it mid-July. Mari calling it. We need it. Like, we need like a meme awards. We really do. We need to hand out meme of the year. I think I'm going to give it to this. The Area 51 raid. Y'all mentioned something about on Friday. I want to talk more about, though, because we've had people from, we've had actual Air Force spokeswomen come out and talk about this. The government might be afraid some people are going to do something here. This, in case you have not heard about this, so there is a Facebook group that created an event joking, obviously, about simply, let's just raid Area 51, quote, let's see them aliens.
Yeah.
1 million people have now vowed that they will be showing up.
I think it was like 400,000 when we checked.
Which is already an insane number.
Holy moly.
Now close to 1.1 million people have pledged to show up for the event. The exact name of the event, Storm Area 51, they can't stop all of us.
I did note that I am now interested in the event via Facebook.
I think I'm going to declare interested.
Yeah, I have declared interest.
Just to do it. Already, almost 1.1 million people have signed up to attend this event on September 20th in the Nevada desert. Another 919,000 people are interested.
Oh, my goodness. That's wild.
The plan, as per the creator of the event, quote, we will all meet up at the Area 51 Alien Center tourist attraction and coordinate our entry. If we Naruto run, we can move faster than their bullets. Let's see them aliens.
I read that off when we talked about it on Friday, and I had no idea what the Naruto run was.
Yes.
And Ben actually demonstrated.
Ben had to stand up and demonstrate.
On the Periscope what it was.
So, of course, since this has gained so much traction, the government is obviously aware about this. U.S. Air Force spokeswoman, because Area 51 is an Air Force base. Area 51, by the way, did you know the government officially denied its existence until 2013?
No, I did not know that.
I did not know that either.
They did not ever acknowledge that it was real, even though it's obviously not called Area 51 officially. It's something Air Force base. It's not far outside of Las Vegas.
Right.
It's not that far. But let me get the spokeswoman here. Speaking to the Washington Post on Friday, U.S. Air Force spokeswoman Laura McAndrews said the Air Force is aware of the event before using an ominous warning to anyone who may try to mimic a Japanese anime ninja as they storm the facility. The statement reads, the U.S. Air Force always stands ready to protect America and its assets.
Yeah.
She also,
that's our military for
also
you.
Said that, we've got to remind you that this is an open Air Force training facility. We advise strongly against this.
Yeah.
That's one of those things. Obviously, if people really try to storm a military base, thousands of people are going to die.
That would not happen.
But 1 million people really just ran at it. People would get in.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It would be like World War Z. Just people climbing on top of each other to scale the fences. But the best thing about this is all the memes.
So many memes.
The memes have killed me.
Oh, my timeline has been amazing so far.
Let me get my phone here. Let me just look at some of these here. Because I've had such a fantastic time.
I saw the Chipotle Twitter account tweet out that, don't worry, they delivered at Area 51. So you can order Chipotle from Area 51.
So look at this one. You know the one about the guy who's like the first image is him smiling and the second is just like a jaw drops. Look at just shock.
Yeah.
It says here on the left, when only one person shows up to the Area 51 raid, the guy smiling is the U.S. government, but the second one says, but it's John Wick.
Oh.
Oh, no.
John Wick he's like, didn't Keanu Reeves say that he'd be coming to Area 51? He was interested?
Well, if that happens, it's game over.
I don't know if that was a Photoshop or not.
Here's an Amanda show. A reference here.
R.I.P.
Kyle, Drake Bell playing Kyle.
Yeah.
And I was like, Area 51. And Area 51 was like, Kyle. I'm waiting for this. How long did it take for this idea of just, you know what? If we get enough people, we'll just run at it. We'll free the aliens. We'll free all the experimental weapons. It'll be fine. It'll absolutely be fine. Here's one of the character Robin from the new season of Stranger Things holding up this whiteboard. It says, U.S. Army can just shoot you if you try to break into Area 51. And that's going to lead to some good memes. So go ahead, lads.
Yeah, seriously.
They need to set the live stream. I need to see how many people actually show up. Because you know there will be thousands of people just showing up.
Over under, how many people do you think actually show up with the actual intent of seeing aliens?
Oh.
That's hard.
20 absolute idiots. I would go 20 who actually try to do
20?
It.
20? That's it?
There'd be like a few thousand actually show up.
I'll say 250 actually thinking there's aliens.
That does it for Overtime Tonight for Julie Ramsey and Will Stevens of Tara Carson. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow, 6 o'clock. See you then.